today on Commitment to Truth.
It's very easy to begin to believe it is you that is doing the work. It's you who come up with the sermon messages. It's you who sing like that. It's you who serve the needy, but it's not. He wants everyone to know that ain't about you. Never was, never will be about you and I receiving any form of glory. So therefore, we could be made alive, but it's not a result of anything we do.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Cedric, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with today's message.
So the purpose of this sermon series is to encourage the body of Christ to understand that there are good works God has prepared for them while creating the space for those who respond to confidently walk in them. Truth be told, not everybody's going to respond. But those of you who will respond, our responsibility is to create that space to allow you to confidently walk in the good works that He has called and created for you to do. Makes sense so far. So when you have put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, believe it or not, you immediately became a part of what is called the ecclesia, the body of Christ. And because you became a part of this ecclesia, the work that Christ has done in you has now given you supernaturally specific works to do through you. There's something that He has for you to do now that only you can do. So these works prepared by God for you well before you made the decision to follow Him. Think about that for a minute. He has given you works to do for Him well before you even thought about following Him. These good works are vitally important to the kingdom work. In other words, there's a work that's way beyond this local church, way beyond our other campuses, way beyond a few assemblies. It is about the kingdom of God. Amen? These good works should bring life to the church. These good works are required of you. There's something for you to do that I will never have the privilege to do. I just won't. There's people that you can reach that I will never, ever be able to reach on this side of heaven. Now, keep in mind, this is young folks and older folks. This is no matter if you're closer to being there or you were just, graduated into middle school. There's a work for you to do that has been assigned for you and you alone to do. Thus, in this series named Your Good Works, there's about five truths that we want to affirm. The first is this, that you are created for good works. Number two, within the ecclesia, or more specifically, this ecclesia, this church, there's space for your works. And you need to know that there is space for your works. You may not see what's in your heart, bubbling in your heart to do, visibly, chances are it could be done somewhere else, even outside of the local church building. You follow me? It may not be done in this church yet or outside of this local church yet, but it's still for you to do, and you need to know from me that there is space for you to do the work, period. There's space for you to do the work. But then, number three, you can never forget that it's Christ you serve. It's not you feeling good about yourself. It's not ultimately for we as a church to say, ooh, look what we're doing. It's ultimately that it is Christ you serve, which says there are going to be times you won't get a pat on the back. You won't get a thank you. You won't get an award. You won't get a certificate or a trophy. Because ultimately, it's Christ you serve. And number four, here's one that many times is excluded or overlooked, is that these good works are for your benefit. They have a unique way to bring out Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then lastly, your good works are one of the greatest expressions of your love for Jesus. Amen? So today, we're going to start with you're created for good works. Let's turn and open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. Now, as you turn in there, I want to lay a healthy foundation. And the foundation is this, is that there's something that you and I need to be reminded of. And it is this, is that you and I were not always ready for these good works. Some of you today are probably still not ready. But my hope is you don't leave today without being ready. And you're going to understand how. So Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 2 says this, "And you were dead in your offenses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." So here's the deal. Because we weren't ready because of, we were walking and living dead. You may have been living and breathing, follow me? But the essence of you, your spirit man, that part of you that ultimately pleases God, that part of you that ultimately lives forever, you are walking and living dead. The word dead here is we were lifeless, spiritually dead, inactive in doing what's right. You may have been doing some good things, but the right things. It also meant that you were destitute of power. Think about that for a minute. You did a lot of great things. You maybe fed the hungry, right? Clothed the naked and done a lot of great things, right? But at the end of the day, you were destitute of the power of the Holy Spirit. The word walk means this, that we were passing one's life or regulating one's life, or we were conducting our lives however we wanted. We're just doing whatever we thought was the right thing to do. And the word lived here you find in these verses is that we were simply behaving ourselves as we pleased. We were just doing whatever pleased us rather than this understanding that we have responsibility to please him. So if you look deeper, is that we were dead in our offenses, our trespasses and our sins. The words offenses and trespasses are important to capture because they're synonymous. It means this. It's a lapse of or a deviation from the truth of righteousness. So no matter if you were doing some right things, there's this inevitable lapse of doing the right thing in all things at all times. The word sins means this, to miss the mark, to miss or wander from the path of uprightness and honor, to do or go wrong, to wander from the law of God, to violate God's law. Now, again, I'm painting a really, really bad picture because there's hope. And we need to always understand, no matter how good the work that God has called and created us to do, we need to know where we started from. And just to pause and interject something, why is that important? It's important because it's very easy to begin to believe it is you that is doing the work. It's very easy for me to think that I teach under my own power. The more and more you teach, you begin to be deceived that it's you who come up with the thoughts. Is you who come up with the sermon messages. Is you who sing like that. It's you who serve the needy, but it's not. So therefore, there needs to be a healthy reference point to say, when I begin to start feeling full of myself, I need to go back to think about who I really am. Apart from whom? Christ. So that being said, that we have these offenses and sins, and then verse 2 and verse 3, it goes on to talk about that we were living and walking like this world. So think about that for a minute. How many times do we find ourselves being so critical of this world? We have the answer for this world, but we find ourselves being so critical of the world that we used to be a part of. That we forget that we were just as bad as they, maybe worse than they, and yet God delivered us. You follow me? The importance of the reference point. The importance of understanding, oh, here's the foundation that we need to lay, that we were once this way. Don't forget it. And it's so beautiful that God gave Paul the wisdom to pen this to the church at Ephesus to say, you need to reference this. You need to have this as a strong reference to know that you were once this way, even though you have this gift coming. This world means this, worldly affairs, the aggregate of things earthly, the whole circle of earthly goods, the endowment of riches, advantages, pleasures, etc., which although hollow and frail and fleeting, this world stirs the desires, seduces from God, and are obstacles to the cause of Christ. Even sounds familiar still to some of us today. So in summary, that we were all once controlled by sin, lifeless, powerless, and incapable of doing anything good. And that's a healthy starting point. But then now that you're alive, let's go to verses 3 through 7. Again, Ephesians chapter 2. It says, among them, we too all previously lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? So that in the ages to come, he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Though this is who we were, you're now made alive, or today some of you can be made alive. How? You see in verses 4 through 7, you're made alive with whom? Christ. We cannot be alive apart from Christ. That's why you hear in Ephesians and other portions of scriptures this temptation to go back to the former ways. And that's the tension and the reality of every follower of Jesus Christ. You can be made new now, but you have to continue walking in the newness of life. If not, you will return to old ways. And then you will appear that you're not alive to everyone around you. Thus, you read the text again. It says, so that in the ages to come, he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That particular so that is invisible. It's unseen in so many believers because there's this returning back to what he delivered you from, which is a whole different topic. So we're made alive with Christ, verse 5, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places. And understand the beauty of heaven. It has no bounds. In other words, when you come to know Christ, heaven is in you, the hope of glory. So you're seated. This is where it gets really deep, is that wait a minute, I'm not there yet, but yet I'm there. You follow me? Thus, that's why, again, Paul writes in to the church of Colossae, right, to set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of what? The Father. So therefore, we've been transformed. We're changed. Therefore, we should be acting like we're there already. Jesus said, pray this way. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it what? It is in heaven. You see how it stitches together, hopefully. So we're seated with him in these heavenly places. It means this heavenly region, the abode of God and angels, the heavenly temple of sanctuary of heavenly origin, our nature. Again, you may not necessarily be there yet, but you're there. In other words, your heaven, your home is where? In heaven. Therefore, there's this representation of heaven on earth. So you're made alive with Christ. When you put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you are immediately made alive with him. And again, there may be someone today who have not put their faith and trust in Christ. My hope is before you leave today, you would do that so you could be instantaneously alive. Go from death to life. Then you see in verses 8 through 9, it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. That is not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one would boast. Every time I read this passage, it just solidifies in my heart how much the Creator God knows his creations. Who doesn't want their name in lights? Who doesn't want their face on a plaque on the wall in the organization they work for? Who doesn't want a company bonus? Don't even lie to yourself right now. Don't even lie. So I just work because I like the job. And they pass out bonus checks to everybody but you. And see how much you're godly. Right? So there's something inherently in us, even to a point that they now give... It's so weird, right? When I was a kid, played sports, you didn't get participation awards. You lost, you lost. It's like, go home, cry, get over it. Now, you know, the parents is like, oh, I don't want my son and daughter to feel bad, so let's give it, you know, it's like. So there's a whole narrative around that. But it shows, again, this inclination in the heart that, you know, there has to be some reward for the work. That's why he says, no, so no one would boast. No one can say, oh, look what I have done. I worked harder than you in the church, and that's why I'm saved and you're not. Right? It's like, no, no, no. That's why someone on death row was a mass murderer. If they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ before they die, they too can be saved. Now, don't be mad at me. Take that up with God when you see him face to face. But that, to me, is the clarity of the extremity of the work of God through Christ. Is that he wants everyone to know that ain't about you. Never was, never will be about you and I receiving any form of glory. So therefore, we could be made alive, but it's not a result of anything we do. The word result means it's not out of, by way of, or from anything. Doesn't mean you shouldn't work. That's why we're talking about your good works. But it's not the results of what you do. Now, keep in mind, listen to the definition of the word works here. It means our business, meaning business works, employment, that which anyone is occupied, that which one undertakes to do, enterprise, undertaking, and any product, whatever, in other words, any product that you produce, anything accomplished by hand, art, industry, our mind, an act, a deed, a thing done, that's pretty much anything. Your profession, your ministry, what you like to do, what you're fond of, can never get you into heaven. The finished work of Jesus Christ has made you alive. And no human works can accomplish this. Amen? That's our foundation. And since you have been made alive, you've been created for some good works. Verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Think about this. You're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do nothing. That's how some are living. I'm saved, set free, and I'm doing absolutely nothing. I'm saved, set free, and I'm enjoying the rights and privileges of my salvation and my relationship with Christ, and I'm doing absolutely nothing. Doesn't even sound right. No matter who you are today, no matter how much you know of Jesus, no matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, you should be doing something for Jesus. Something. You know, when you're a kid, somebody had some candy, and you say, "Can I have some?" What did they say? S. Oh, can I have some? I do this now with my kids sometimes. Something that I really want and I don't want to share. Can I have some? S-O-M-E. There's something that you should be doing. Give them an S. Right? Give them an S and an O. Do give them something. There's something for you to be doing that he has created for you to do. Amen? But going deeper, listen to it. Verse 10. You're not created in Christ, so we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. His workmanship means this, that you are a work, which means that you are a piece of work. And we all are a piece of works. So that it says that which has been made of the works of God as creator. In other words, he has done a work in you and he will continue to do a work in you. That's what he does. He's still working on me. Still working on me. He will continue to work on us until we see him face to face. We are a work. But thank God we are his work. The word created in Christ means this, to make habitable in Christ. So some of us aren't as habitable yet in Christ. Or we won't abode or abide or create our habitation in Christ. We want to do stuff outside of Christ. But he's saying, no, this kind of work that I've called you to do is found in the habitation of whom? Christ. It also means to form, to shape in Christ. So he is forming us and shaping us in Christ. It is to completely change or transform us in Christ, as in God creating the worlds. He spoke it into existence and is still bringing him honor and glory today. Then you look further at verse number 10. You're now be made new in Christ for these good works. So, good works. Remember we talked about the other works? But listen to what the works that we are called to do looks like. And I think it's going to be liberating, my hope is. The word good means of good constitution or nature, useful, pleasant, agreeable, joyful, excellent, all right, distinguished, upright, honorable. Now attach that to works, business, employment are also good works for him. Because you know why? Some people who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ only go to work to make money. And it's not made in Christ. He has no say in it, no reference towards it, no privilege to direct, speak into. He has no say-so in what you do at work. He's not even thought of when you're at work for many people. It's just like, go, make money, come home, do my job. And Christ is never even seen, thought of, mentioned, associated with at all. Matter of fact, I don't even like what I'm doing. How many people have even said that? How can you not like what you're doing with what he gave you to do? My humble opinion, when you read 1 Peter chapter 3, I think it is, that's why many people don't find favor on the job. Christians don't find favor. In other words, promotions, opportunity, advancement. It's because you go to work with a chip on your shoulder versus doing what you do in Christ. It also means that which anyone is occupied, that which one undertakes to do. So whatever you undertake to do, whatever you undertake to do should be a good work that brings him glory. Enterprise. I want to start a business. I want my own fill in the blank because I want to pass something to my kids. But Jesus is nowhere to be found in it. You know what some of the most reputable, successful businessmen and women do? They tithe the income of their business. You know why? Because it says, my heart is towards Christ. That's really what they're saying is, this business belongs to him. So think about this. You talk to any businessman, Christian businessman, that gets it, and woman that gets it. You know what they do? They pay themselves a salary. They tithe off their salary because that's their income. Then they say, okay, well, we want to make sure that this business overall belongs to him. So I'm going to take a portion of that and give it back to the Lord. Some have even do research on American businesses that like Welch's and people like that. Believe it or not, they were Christian-owned businesses. Hearst Potato Chip, Christian-owned business. So many of them, you know what they'll do? They'll even reverse tithe. They'll say, you know what, 10% is enough for me. Let me give 90% towards the kingdom. That's what they do. And that's why you see the Chick-fil-A's of the world. That they're more profitable in 6 days than their competitors in 7. Enterprise, undertaking, any product, whatever, anything accomplished by hand, art, industry, or mind, an act, a deed, a thing done. You see it all intertwined. So many times we try to put good works in silos. Well, I come to church, I do a good work. knows way beyond that. He wants your mind, your passions, your joys, your reason for living 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That will shift everything in your life, and you'll begin to see the hand of God affirm your work and the works that you do overnight. You'll see him affirm it. Because we have this sinful tendency to think that God is only present or God only figures that this part of my life is important because it's connected to church. Remember what we've learned about the ecclesia? You are the church. Wherever you are, there's a church service. Whatever you do, if right now the only time you have is time to go to school and deal with your education, whatever you do it for his glory. And it turns into a good work. And then you'll begin to see Luke 14:23 just naturally manifest in your life. You'll go into the highways, the byways, and compel them to come in. Because this is what will begin to happen in your marketplace. People begin to say things like this. So why are you so always happy? You know, why do you always have a smile on your face? Do you really want to know? And you can bait them like that. Do you really want to know? You sure you want to know? Yeah, please tell me. It's Jesus. Really? It just immediately turned into a good work. You don't have to stand up and have Bible verses on your cubicle and Christian music. And shame on you if you do that and you don't live it. Amen. But what we should be doing is being men and women that my works, if I'm an entrepreneur, if I have the lowliest task in an organization, that it's a good work because I'm working for him. And then you'll begin to see men and women, young or old, come up to you and start asking you questions about the one you do the work for. And here's my challenge to you. If it doesn't happen, you got to ask yourself why. If no one is coming up to you and saying, well, how did you come up with that idea? Because you know what God promises? That he'll give you witty ideas. When no one else has the answers on the job, you should have the answer. You should have the answer. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If we humble ourselves and say, God, our company needs an answer for this. Can you show me what the answer is? You don't think he will give you the answer? The finished work of Jesus Christ has made you new. You have a new job. You have a new career. You have a new purpose. You should have new goals, new plans, because you are new. You should be rethinking what you're doing with your time, your talent, your resources, because they belong to him. And what you'll begin to see is that those things that you thought were just trivial will somehow uniquely turn into good works and somehow connect into the kingdom and somehow connect into the body. Some of you, we have a chance, talk to Hector Hernandez. He gets this. He's a salesman. And he probably sells Jesus more than he sells products. Some of you have heard stories. This guy goes in and he's not abrasive, but some way, somehow, when he's talking to a customer, it turns into the gospel message. Just some way, somehow, it turns into praying with someone. Some way, somehow. Again, not everyone's going to have that opportunity. That's required of him. Your challenge is, what is required of you? What is required of you could be, well, you know what? I know how to do this. Could this be applied to the local church? Right? Well, I'm good at finances and I handle money all the time. Well, and I have all this information and this wisdom. Does the church need help with maybe financial training or stewardship? Not for you to make money from the church. Because it can't get it twisted and say, oh, well, I'm a realtor, so let me sell houses to people. No, no, that's sorbic gain, and that's sin. But it's, I have skill sets. I have knowledge. I have experience. God, how can this apply to the church some way, somehow? Because the church has contextualized responsibilities that need proper skill set. And is found among you. What's your good work? I want to end with this. You're created in Christ. Christ created you for good works. The last part of verse 10 says, so that we would walk in them. Didn't create you, didn't give you all this stuff, whatever the stuff may be, the thinking, the abilities, the creativity, even mention art, the art. And you follow me? Every part of you. Did he create you just to hold on to it? No, he says, so that you will walk in them. The words walk in them means this, to pass one's or regulate one's or even conduct one's life. It also means this, to make do, D-O or D-U-E, interesting enough, to make do. In other words, go do it, and then there's a something that is what? Do. Which makes so much sense, because we need to go do it, but then there's something that is due unto us that we must do. To make due our use of the opportunities. What opportunities have God given you that you need to make due of today? That's your starting point. What opportunities has he given you today that you need to make do, D-O and D-U of, D-U-E of? It's time to walk in your good works. It's time to make do of the opportunities he prepared for you. Amen.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the Administrative and Executive Director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means Weekly Inspiration, Refreshment, and Encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Have you ever wondered why flies have been made? That may sound strange, Because I know personally, I wonder why maggots were made. I just don't like them. Have you ever wondered why evil was even made? Have you ever thought about why the world was even made? Why you were even made? You see, the Bible says that the Lord has made everything for its own purpose. You see, but the ultimate purpose is to honor Him, is to glorify Him in everything that we do. Even the rocks and the moon and the stars and everything that is enjoyable to us, and even those things we don't even enjoy, somehow the purpose is to honor Him. But what I'd like to challenge you with today is this. Let's take our eyes off of the other things, good or bad, indifferent. But look at you. Why has God created you? Do you know your purpose? Do you know why He formed you in your mother's womb? No matter how life is for you, no matter how life has been for you, why have you been created? I challenge you today to seek God to understand your purpose. Why has He created this address on this earth just for you? I say to you, just in summary, your purpose is ultimately to glorify Him. This is Pastor Cedric of Commitment Church with another Weekly Wire, challenging us all to really understand what is our purpose. Let's get our eyes off of the things around us, the circumstances around us, and look ourselves in the mirror and understand, God, why have you created me? Am I living a life that brings you honor? That's your purpose.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, a teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.